Ruth chapter number one. Let's stand together. We'll read several verses and then we'll be seated this morning. Ruth chapter number one. I'm going to read quick because I do have several verses to read beginning of verse number one. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each one to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And notice here, one daughter-in-law left, one daughter-in-law went with her. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto, notice, her gods. Orpah went back. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. I want to preach this morning on this thought, attracting the lost to Jesus. Attracting the lost to Jesus. Ruth could have spent time with her mother-in-law enough to say, I don't want anything that you've got. I ain't going anywhere with you. You're mean, you're rude, you're arrogant, you're opinionated. But there was something in Naomi that Ruth said, I don't want my gods anymore. I want what you've got. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us today to see this truth? Each one of us, this preacher included, needs this challenge this morning, this reminder this morning. So help us, Lord, I pray in this. If someone here today doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that they'll be saved today. Work on their heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated there. The book of Ruth begins with a story of a backslidden man who made poor decisions for the direction of his family. The Bible says in verse number one that it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So we realize this morning that the book of Ruth, the storyline here takes place at the same time that the book of Judges, just to the left there, the book of Judges takes place. And so in these days when judges ruled the earth, the Bible says there in Judges 21 and verse number 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so we have a man here in the book of Ruth who is not praying about his decisions. He's not reading the word of God. He's not seeking the will of God. He's not seeking any counsel. By the way, he's not listening to any seers in his life. He is just doing that which is right in his own eyes. The Bible says in the next part of that verse one that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, like many today, was his own man. And he was going to do it his own way. He took his wife and he took his boys. You listen to me, men. And Elimelech walked straight out of the will of God. Let me tell you something. You walk straight out of the will of God, it's not only going to affect your marriage, it's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your grandchildren. Because if by chance and by God's grace, you decide one day to walk back into the will of God, it may just be that your children say, we want nothing to do with church. And if it's not your knuckleheaded children you're concerned with, it may just be the grandkids that never have a fighting chance because at some point, you as a dad decided, I've had enough, or I'm upset, or I'm just going to take a break from church. I'm going to take a break from the will of God. He took his wife and his boys, walked straight out of the will of God. He left the place called Bethlehem, Judah. We know it as Bethlehem today, but he left the place of Bethlehem, Judah, which by definition is the house of bread. He had it all. He left for a place called Moab. Moab was named after Lot's oldest daughter's son that she gave birth to as a result of the incestuous relationship with her father Lot. Those were the Moabites. The Moabites were the enemies of God's people. And so Elimelech takes his family out from underneath the house of bread, out from the place of God's protection and God's provision. And by the way, why? Because he just thought, boy, we got to make a decision right now. What it was. And you be careful, men, because if you're not careful, you'll say, well, I mean, I've got to make a career decision right now and it's got to be made. I would be concerned with my kids, my marriage. I'd go work down here at Dairy Queen and flip hamburgers before I take my family out of the will of God. For a bigger paycheck or a more guarantee. If you haven't noticed in this world today, there are no guarantees. Right. The only guarantee we find is found in the Word of God. Here's a sad picture. If you looked on your map, Moab was just across the Jordan River from the Promised Land. How would you like to know that you led your family just across the river from all of God's blessings? How many people you think are out of church today that just have so much pride they won't get back into church and get right with God? And they're realizing today how good they had it at one point. Now, times got tough there in Bethlehem. And because times got tough, Elimelech packed up and ran. Yet in God's time and in God's way, God continued to meet the needs of his people there in Bethlehem, Judah. Can I say this to you today? You don't have it as bad as you think you have it. In verse number 1, the Bible says that there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. So Elimelech there, and I'm picking phrases here, but he went to sojourn in the country of Moab. But guess what? In verse number 6, listen, after he had died and the sons had died, listen to what Naomi hears in verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You know what? She heard how good it was back home. We need to learn to be patient. We need to learn to have some seers in our life. We need to learn to let people tell us when we're thinking wrong and when we're choosing wrong, because it's just people that love us and will help us to stay on track for God. Young people, you need the same. You have an opportunity here to live a blessed life and a God-blessed life and God to use you. But if you're not careful, you'll look up one day and you'll look over that river at what you used to have, and yet you decided, because there was a famine of friends or there was a famine of you name it, you decided to run and cut out of the will of God. Amen. While Bethlehem, Judah, the place of God's blessing, the place of bread, while Bethlehem, Judah became a faded memory of what once was, Moab became a bitter reality of what now is. Look at verse number 3 again. The Bible says, "In Elimelech, Naomi's husband died. He took his family out of the will of God, and we don't know what happened to him or how soon it happened, but the husband that walked his family out of the will of God died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab, so they went to the world to find wives. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died. The sons died. I remember Brother Swanky preaching a message here. In fact, I have it written on the top of my Bible. It was in 2010. Mahlon means sickly and Chilion means whiny. Some of you remember that. He was talking about being a backslidden guy and having sickly children and whiny children and children. They're just out of control because dad doesn't allow any authority in his own life. And we reap what we sow. The Bible says Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And by the way, later on, she tells them, she says, just call me Mara. She said, I'm a bitter lady. So the husband died and the now grown sons have died. Naomi's left alone and she decides it's time to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. She knows now, don't miss this, she knows now how good they had it then. She knows it, because look in verse 20. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She says in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Let me encourage you, this is just kind of the first half, the first part of the message, and we're going to kind of change course here in just a minute. But men, lead your home. Lead your home. Don't be afraid to lead your home, but be a spiritual leader and a wise leader and a leader that is more concerned with the will of God for your life and the will of God for your family than the almighty dollar. Don't be one of those feminine guys they're promoting today. Don't be one of those sissies that gets their feelings hurt over everything. You be the one that could sit down and talk with your wife and explain things to your wife. You could be the one that stands with the authority instead of standing against the authority with all of your kids. And just say, you know what, that's for me and my house. We're going to serve God. Don't let the devil tempt you to take your family out of the will of God. You may make it, you may not, but it ought to concern you more what's going to happen to your kids. So she realizes, she said, I went out full. Our problem is this, we're so spoiled on God's goodness to us that we don't even stop to realize how full we are of the blessings of God. I understand that, I'm not getting into it, but I understand the crisis at the border. I understand that, what are these people doing here and how do they get there? How in the world did they get there from Haiti? If you didn't pass geography, Haiti doesn't have a bridge between here and there. But can I say something that's not political? Can I say something a little more spiritual? How would you like for your family to be underneath a bridge and tarps and straw and trying to find a way to survive, trying to find a way into the country, the land of the free and the home of the brave? How would you like for that to be your family? And yet we're so spoiled with the blessings of God that we'll allow ourselves to get offended over the smallest stuff. And they said this, and I think they think that about me, and they didn't do this in the nursery, and they didn't like my post. And we're so full of the blessings of God, we don't even realize it. Can I remind you, they just sang that song about the Bible, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, you can't make me quit. Amen. So for the first part of this message, let me encourage every Christian to stop and think and pray and seek counsel and get in that Bible before you make major choices in your life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The flip side of that is this, the way of transgressors is hard. Well, we just want a fresh start. Better make sure it's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where your kids are going to grow up and learn the things of God and be challenged to walk with God and live for God and give their life for God. Hey, we ought to just look in the mirror one day and say, man, I've been so blessed. I need to get over this pettiness, and I need to get over this jealousy, and I need to get over this anger, and I need to get over this restlessness, and I want to move here, and I want to change here, and I want, the Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. I just want to encourage you, men and ladies, because that's a sad story about a man who had what he needed and had the provisions of God, but he thought, no, we've got to make a change. And takes his family right across the river, right out of the promised land, and he just dies. And then his boys, who would carry on the family name, they die. Now, for the next part of the message, and this will... I think that part of the message should include all of us there. But for the next part of the message, I want to look at a bright spot in this chapter. I want to read it again because I want you to see this. But look in, and you're sitting, so you're fine. But look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons, and they took them wives. All right, so now they married. Those two sons married. One wife was Orpah. By the way, if you've never heard the story, Oprah Winfrey was supposed to be called Orpah. They spelled it wrong on her birth certificate. She kind of is an Orpah, the gods of this world, rather than the God of heaven. But the name of the other, Ruth. All right, so these young men grew up, and they got married, Mahlon and Chilion. And then verse 5 says, they died also. So now you have Naomi, you have mom, or mother-in-law, and you have two daughters-in-law. All right, so in verse number 6, Naomi says, I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and then went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. In other words, say, stay here in the land of Moab. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. And we read it a moment ago. Naomi said, girls, don't go with me. Go start a new life here in Moab. I'm going back where I should have been in the first place. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. She said, girls, I'm too old. I'm not going to get remarried. And if I do get remarried, I don't know if God would even give me a child. And if I do get remarried and I have a child, and perhaps it's a son, what are the chances you girls are going to wait around for 18 years or whatever the age was then? What's the chances you're going to wait around to marry that particular son? She says, just go restart your life here in the land of Moab. Well, with enough of that being said, the Bible says that Orpah, verse 14, kissed her mother-in-law, meaning Orpah said, all right, I'm out of here. But the wonderful story is that the Bible says, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. In other words, Ruth wanted what Naomi had. Ruth said, I see something in Naomi that I want for my life. Ruth said to Naomi, I want to know your God. I don't want to go back to my gods, little g gods, the idols. She said, I don't want to live that way anymore. Even though Naomi was brokenhearted, even though Naomi went home bitter, there was still something in Naomi that Ruth could see, and Ruth said, hey, that's what I'm missing, that's what I need, that's what I want. My question to us today is, do we attract sinners to Christ? Ruth said to Naomi, don't miss this there in verse number 16, Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. Entreat. Naomi kept saying, go back, go back, go back, go to where you were, start your life over. Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. The word entreat means to make an earnest petition or request, to beg. All right, so here's what we've done in the last month. We've entreated people to come to church, right? We've asked people to come to church. We've invited people to come to church. Perhaps we have begged people to come to church. What Ruth was just saying there to Naomi was this: please don't beg me not to go with you. Did you read it there? Entreat me not to leave thee. She said, please stop begging me not to go. Ruth said this to Naomi: I want to go. I want to know your God. You see where I'm going here? Are we attracting anyone to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let me read to you what the Bible says over in Matthew chapter 5. It's a familiar passage to you. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Ye, that's us as Christians, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, his taste, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, teenagers, are you listening? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, young people, your school teacher says there's something different about you. You come to school different on a Monday morning than all these other boys and girls. Didn't you tell me you go to church? Didn't you tell me you were some kind of Bible person? Didn't you tell me you were some kind of Christian? Hey, the Bible says that we're the light of the world and that people should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I'm not talking about a lifestyle salvation. I'm not talking about people just automatically fall at our feet and say, what must I do to be saved? But I tell you this, if we're witnessing to people, our testimony has to back up our witness. Amen. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter number 1 and in verse number 27. The Bible says, only let your conversation be as, let your behavior, your conversation is the way you walk, the way you talk. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. The word becometh means is suitable for the gospel. It even means beautiful. In other words, the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I act, the way I treat people makes the gospel look beautiful. Let me read you one other passage and then we'll move on to what the kind of the challenge is, what the Lord had laid on my heart this morning. But in 1 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible says this. Now, usually I'll give you this verse, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, right? We've used that a bunch. Be ready always. That means somebody sees a difference in us. But I decided to back up a little bit. In fact, why don't you just turn there, 1 Peter chapter 3, because we're going to read about 10 or 11 verses. And you'd be amazed at how God tells us to act here before it gets to the place where people actually ask us why there's something different. 1 Peter chapter number 3. All right, and look in verse number 8. Now think about it. We're talking about our relationship to people. We're talking about what the world sees in us. And they may not believe what we believe. They may not understand why we stand where we stand. But friend, listen, they ought to have a respect for us just because of the way we treat them. I mean, it ought to be that down at the coffee shop, they have a respect for you as a child of God, not as a gossip. I walked in last Sunday morning in one of the coffee shops, and one of the boys that used to kind of come to church here a little bit made my coffee, and I was there right at 8 o'clock when they opened, and I went to pay. He said, it's on me, preacher. Have a good day at church. I went back today and paid, but hey, it worked one time. No. In fact, I'm like you. I had to cash out today because I didn't want him to think I was back just to get something for free. Respect. Respect. It ought to be we have a respect as a child of God. Friend, listen, down at the dry cleaners, Sarah worked there for a while, a year, whatever it was, back in the days. And listen, some of those people had great respect for Christians. Some of those people said, I can't believe the way some Christians act. That's sad. 1 Peter 3, the Bible says this in verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Right. You see all these words that are going to lead up to somebody saying, you're different. Yeah. Look at the next verse, not rendering evil for evil, well, I'll get them. Or railing for railing. You know what railing is? Words. Well, they typed that, I'll type this. Well, they send this text, I'll send that text. You know, remember, a soft answer turneth away wrath. We always have in the back of our head what we could do. But contrary-wise, he says, blessing, blessing, bless them that bless you, remember? Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, hey, do you love life? Do you wake up every day and just love life? He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And his lips that they speak no guile. I think if you looked in the Greek, you would see today that lips and tongue mean thumbs too. Or our little typing, or how we do it on our phone or our keyboard. Why do we get in the middle of all that stuff? Verse 11, let him eschew evil. The ones that want to love life and see good days, do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or follow it. Follow after the things which make for peace. Man, if we would just put that as our, you know, our home screen, I guess you call it on the phone, and mine is a picture of a cruise ship. May never be on one again, but you put whatever on there. But maybe we should just put the scripture on there, follow after the things which make for peace. Right before we type, or right before we text, or right before we call, the Bible says in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's watching. His ears are open unto their prayers. Thank the Lord for that. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What that phrase means, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, means this, to always be praising and celebrating God. It basically is that, sanctify the Lord God always in your heart. It means this, acknowledge God. Instead of letting the flesh control your life, and I'm going to send this, I'm going to tell them, and I'm telling what I think, and you're always in an uproar, you always have drama going on. That's not the way it has to be as a child of God. We bring that into our own lives. But sanctify the Lord God always means this, I'm going to act like a Christian. I'm going to celebrate the fact that I'm saved. I'm going to acknowledge God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Remember again, there is always what we want to say. There's always what we could say. And sometimes that doesn't really line up with what we should say. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. All right, if they say it and it's not true, you got to just, as the Lord did, commit the keeping of your soul to God. You just have to say, it's going to be all right. The Lord's going to take care of things. I'm not going to get into argument over it. You know good and well in this social media day and age, we're guilty until proven guilty. I mean, it just, if somebody wants to say something about you online, it's going to spread. You just have to, I know we fight that. You just have to let that stuff go. There's some Christians that no one even says anything about you. You just constantly think people are talking about you, and that's ridiculous. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Well, I know they're talking about me. Don't give yourself so much credit. All right, so it says here that they may be ashamed. All right, for it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And here is our example. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Listen to why. That he might bring us to God. So why should we sometimes just let it happen? Because people need to be saved. Have you ever heard the saying, opposites attract? Just look at your spouse. Now, I'm not going to do it this morning. I'm not going to take the time. And if I started saying, I'd say too much and get in trouble. Miss Ogden and I are opposites in a lot of ways. She likes pets. I like to shoot animals. She's a germaphobe. My name, when they spell it on the coffee cup, is Jeremy. You know, just, I never, Not well known for enunciation. Opposites attract. Hey, if we're going to attract people to the gospel of Christ, we're going to have to be attractive. You know what attracted me to my wife, amongst other things? She was attractive. I'm pretty sure you didn't look at your spouse and say, well, that person's ugly as a stump. That's the one. I don't think you boys are doing that. I don't think you're looking around. By the way, young man, beauty is deceitful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Look at all the men in here. Our wives beheld us, and we're like, man, we're ugly. But you boys learn it's not just about the beauty. It's about the beauty of the heart, a young lady that walks with God. And you young ladies, the same thing. If you're unmarried in here, don't think, well, I'm going to win him over after we start dating. No, you're probably not. Let me challenge all of us. Here's the challenge. I'm going to give you a list here, and we'll be done. Let me challenge you to go out into the world this week and to be different. Man, we live in a messed up world. Everyone is skeptical about everything. They're angry about everything. They're doubting everything and everyone. And if there was ever a point in time in our life where we had a chance to let our light so shine before men, it's right now. I don't have points. I just have a list here. You can write them or not, but I just want to give you this list and we'll shut it down. Let me just give this just some thoughts. That, in fact, it was the other day somewhere along the way, and I wrote them on my phone, on my notepad, on my phone, and put them into a message. But here it is. In a mean world, be nice. Yep. In a mean world, be nice. And I understand getting agitated. Friend, listen, at the end of the day, it is just a hamburger.
Right.
Honestly, is it worth sending them to hell over? In a mean world, be nice. You understand how understaffed people are right now? Man, thank God they even showed up to work today. Most are not showing up to work. And the worst thing we could do, we have those thank you tracks back there where when you go to a restaurant, you can leave a tip and be sure to leave a decent tip. But you can leave that thank you and it says, you've been a blessing to me today. Let me be a blessing to you and tell you about the one that loves you and died for you and talks about Jesus. But friend, don't do that after throwing a basket of chips at somebody. I get agitated. It takes a long time at a lot of places these days. Friend, start cooking.
Right.
It just agitates me. Then start cooking at home. You know as well as I do, it is easier than ever to be different from the world today. In a mean world, be nice. Heard the story the last couple of days, I guess, of some lady that pulled a gun on the workers at a Chipotle because they said we're closed when she walked up to the... Was she that hungry? You know, jail food is not Chipotle.
Right?
We could do it if we wanted to. In a mean world, be nice. Anywhere and everywhere in a mean world, be nice. Let me give you another one. In an angry world, be kind. In an angry world, be kind. Open doors for people. You young men, I was watching. I was putting my coat on putting my jacket on in my office, and I looked up at the security cameras, and I saw you young men come downstairs and come into this auditorium here. And I saw you zip around, and almost every single one of you zipped around right in front of Brother Jerry Smith. Why don't you learn to be a gentleman? Learn to look beyond yourself and say, man, who can I show some kindness to? Who can I be a help to? Who can I be a blessing to? We realize we live in an angry world today. By the way, Jesus is the answer for an angry world. Wave at people. I went for a walk yesterday. I stayed home. It was the first time. I'm not kidding. I'm not stretching it. It's the first time I have not been in my truck going somewhere, and probably since I owned the truck last October. I stayed home yesterday. Worked on my messages for today. Did my laundry so my wife wouldn't have to come home to a mess after the seminar. If folded some towels, folded some other laundry that they had in the dryer when they left. I hate folding other people's stuff. It's like, ew. I just stayed home, and then my body was aching because of sitting in church. We were in church all week long, and Thursday was a 13-hour day out at their camp, and wonderful week. I'll tell you a little bit about tonight, maybe. But and then that plane ride, man, they put you in there like a bunch of sardines, and my body was achy, so I just went for a walk. And I walked down the road, way down my road, and walked back. And you know what? There was one time a lady passed me, and I thought she was going to run me over. This old lady, she wasn't slowing down for anything, and we had potholes everywhere, and doom, 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 and I didn't wave at her. But I waved at everyone else, and guess what? When I was going back to my house, she came back by, and I was like, all right, Lord, I hear you. I waved. You didn't mean it, but I waved. Right. I'm just trying to have fun with you, but at the same time, kind of prove a point. It's not hard for God's people to be different these days. Right. In an angry world, be kind. I love traveling with my dad this week. He'll talk to anyone. I don't know if it's a stump, he'll talk to him. I'm going to get my breakfast. I'm not a morning person. I'm going to get my breakfast. He's like, how you? How you doing? How you doing, young man? How you doing? How you doing? Where are you folks from? How you doing? I'm like, Dad, sit down so we can pray. You know, you don't have to get old and just get mean. Right. And grouchy and opinionated. He got some grouch in him. Passed it down to me. But I love the fact he talks to everyone. I was talking to Miss Fain a minute ago about the seminar. She said, your mama talks to everybody. Everyone there wants to talk to your mama. Hey, that's better than... We live in an angry world. And it's easy for us to get angry about stuff and just live angry. So why don't we just decide, you know what, I'm going to go out this week. I'm going to be kind to everyone. The lady at the coffee shop, the person at the restaurant, the attendant taking my money at the gas station, whatever it is. Hey, let me say this also. In a skeptical world, be hopeful.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be long, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I get that.
I keep up with the news the best I can, and I realize we're in a mess today. But we as children of God have hope that the world doesn't have. Right. And they're supposed to ask us a reason of the hope that's in us. In a discouraged world, be up. In a discouraged world, be up. Man, some folks come into church. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, some people come into church. Taking the kids to the nursery. I'm like, oh my goodness, is it that bad? The truth of the matter is, this day and age, this generation, your biggest problem is you didn't have enough internet this morning. Amen. Hey, in a discouraged world, why don't we just decide, you know what, I've got something in me, and I've got a hope of eternity in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. What's going on in the world today is just signs of the times. The good news about the bad news is Jesus is coming back soon. And why don't we as children of God, you're saying never get mean, never get angry, never get discouraged. Hey, we get those things. Sometimes we lose to our flesh. But all in all, let's just decide, you know what, I'm going to do better at this because I am the light. I realize Christ is the light of the world, but he specifically said, ye are the light of the world. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Let's go out there and not be a good for nothing, but a good for something Christian this world, this week. Let me say this, in a rude world, be respectful.
Amen.
In a rude world, be respectful. They're out there. There's some that they're just going to be rude no matter what. There are some places you go and people are working and they're kind as can be. And there are places you go and they are stinking. They have no personality. They're rude as can be. You say, where? Anywhere in the north.
Right.
Anywhere near Chicago where we were this week. You know, my dad, hey, how you doing? My dad will talk to you, how you doing? Hey, it's a good day, isn't it? What you want on that burger? You know, it's like, good grief. Hey, in a rude world, why don't we just learn to be respectful? Let me stress it again, young men, young ladies, be respectful of each other and be respectful of someone that's older than you. And by the way, those of us that are older, let's be respectful of others also. Hey, in a self-centered world, be a servant. It's all about me. Click. Click. It's all about me. Why don't we just learn, find a way? Let's be a servant to others. In a world looking down, keep your head up. In a world full of bad news, be the one with good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Amen.
Saying to you this morning, let's attract people to Christ. In a world that's falling apart and living in fear, let's be the ones who aren't. And maybe, just maybe, folks will see our track, or they'll hear our gospel witness, and they'll see our hope-filled, different way of living. They'll see our different way of treating others. And perhaps a few of them will say, "Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God." We go out there and act like the world this week. We're honking in the line. It's taking too much time. And you did this. This was not 30 cents more than, what is the problem here? There's a right way and a wrong way to handle anything. I'm not saying don't handle your business. I'm not saying that at all. But we have to ask ourselves before we react, is what I'm about to say or do going to push them closer to hell? And is it worth sending someone to hell over? Let's not act like the world this week. Let's not repel lost sinners from Christ. Let's attract them to the Lord. Naomi said, "Ruth, go home. Go home to your gods. Go home to Moab. Go home to your place." And Ruth said, No. I want what you've got. That Ruth said, "Naomi, I want to go where you're going. I want to go to Bethlehem, Judah. I want to go to the house of bread. I need what you have. Hey, Naomi, I'm going with you. Your people, I like that group. Your God, I want that God to be my God." All right, so it's not always about just leaving tracks everywhere you go. Certainly, God will bless the gospel seed being planted. It's about the way we act. It's about our testimony. It's about our reputation. And it ought to be we walk into Brookshire's, or we walk into Walmart, or we walk into the bank down here, or we walk into Mobile, or we walk into the dry cleaners. And they may say, "Yeah, they go to that church, that Trinity Baptist church down there, and it's just, man, it's crazy church." And I tell you what, that guy's always nice to us. That lady's always respectful. They're always kind. They always give you these little cards when they come around. But I mean, I tell you what, they're nice and respectful. I think we have some folks in our church like that. I think most of us in here have our days where we're not like that. And I just wanted to challenge you this morning. It's just what the Lord laid on my heart there. I just found that interesting that Ruth said, "Naomi, I want what you've got." It's more to it than just, "Next time, cook my burger well. Here, we have friend day coming up." You may need to win them to yourself before you win them to Christ. And God help us. God help us if we're the stumbling block as a child of God that keeps somebody from ever getting into heaven, from ever trusting Christ as their Savior. If you're here today, you don't know Christ. If you're here today and you can't look back and know of a time and place in your life where you remember you accepted Christ as your Savior right then and there, I would encourage you to be saved today. It's good to be a Christian. Let's go out this week and act like it.